or advantages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I hope you all had an enjoyable weekend and spent time with people you love. There are some signs of resistance emerging here to the global genocidal takedown of the world in the attempt to impose the Great Reset and the New World Order. We had the Georgia Guidestone come down, and while there are those who want to say it was the NWO doing it, that's ridiculous and silly. Those monuments were intended to be permanent. The fact they have been destroyed, I take to be a good sign. Not only that, but we have in Sri Lanka massive protests going on. They've had food shortages, which you can anticipate coming to Europe and to the United States. The people have been protesting. They've been going and streaming into the house of the president, the prime minister, threatening to kill them, burning down their homes. We have protests in the Netherlands. We got the Dutch farmers raising hell. And get this, if you go onto Twitter now, you'll see that Bill Gates' picnic, a grocery store where he wants to retail this synthetic, this laboratory-made meat and the like, has been turned into a barbecue. It's been set aflame. And here we have a fascinating German member of parliament by the name of Christine Anderson in Brussels opposing the COVID-19 vax mandates. Check this out.
All through Europe, governments have gone to great lengths to get people vaccinated. We were promised the vaccinations will be a game changer and it will restore our freedom. Turns out none of that was true. It does not render you immune. You can still contract the virus and you can still be infectious. The only thing this vaccine did for sure was to spill billions and billions of dollars in the pockets of pharmaceutical companies. I voted against the digital green certificate back in April. Unfortunately, it was adopted nonetheless. And this just goes to show there's only a minority of MEPs who truly stand for European values. The majority of MEPs, for whatever reasons unbeknown to me, obviously support oppression of the people while claiming shamelessly to do it for the people's own good. But it is not the goal that renders a system oppressive. It is always the methods by which the goal is pursued. Whenever a government claims to have the people's interest at heart, you need to think again. In the entire history of mankind, there has never been a political elite sincerely concerned about the well-being of regular people. What makes any of us think that it is different now? If the age of enlightenment has brought forth anything, then certainly this. Never take anything any government tells you at face value. Always question everything any government does or does not do. Always look for ulterior motives and always ask, cui bono, who benefits? Whenever a political elite pushes an agenda this hard and resorts to extortion and manipulation to get their way, you can almost always be sure your benefit is definitely not what they had at heart. As far as I'm concerned, I will not be vaccinated with anything that has not been properly vetted and tested and has shown no sound scientific evidence that the benefits outweigh the disease itself and possible long-term side effects, which to this day we don't know anything about. I will not be reduced to a mere guinea pig by getting vaccinated with an experimental drug. And I will most assuredly not get vaccinated because my government tells me to and promises in return I will be granted freedom. Let's be clear about one thing. No one grants me freedom, for I am a free person. So I dare the European Commission and the German government. Throw me in jail, lock me up, and throw away the key for all I care. But you will never be able to coerce me into being vaccinated if I, the free citizen that I am, choose not to be vaccinated. Lastly, I would like you to think about this one. The compulsory use of the digital green certificate undermines everything that Europeans stand for. It violates constitutionally guaranteed fundamental rights, and it constitutes the first step towards the insufferable Chinese social credit system. I will never stand for this. I will never put up with this. Thank you.
God, what a wonderful statement that was. If only we had individuals here in the United States who are making these assertions. Meanwhile, as I mentioned, you can go onto Twitter, New World Odor, O-D-O-R. You find a Bill Gates Foundation-funded supermarket picnic in the Netherlands goes up in flames. Picnic is now barbecue. Devoutly to be wished. Fascinating development. Meanwhile, as I mentioned, Sri Lanka, President Tuckwit after palace stormed by angry protesters. This is from Zero Hedge, Saturday. Sri Lankan President Gotabaya Rajapaksa announced he would step down Saturday night after thousands of protesters rushed his office and his official residence and offices early in the day. Rajapaksa has taken refuge at an undisclosed location, some have pointed out possibly aboard a naval ship. The parliament speaker, Mahindayapa Abawardina, told the nation during a televised announcement Saturday that Rajapaksa will resign Wednesday to ensure a peaceful transition. Sri Lankan Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe tweeted he will resign as well to ensure the continuation of the government, including the safety of all citizens. I accept the best recommendation of the party leaders today to make way for an all-party government. To facilitate this, I will resign as prime minister. The Sri Lankan constitution says if Rajapaksa and Wickremesinghe are both resigned, the parliament speaker will assume power for 1 month. Footage circulating on social media show tens of thousands of demonstrators swarming the presidential palace. I'm looking at the images now. Social unrest comes as the country has suffered runaway inflation and shortage of the food and fuel after depleting foreign exchange reserves. Thousands of protesters stormed Sri Lankan President Gotabaya Rajapaksa's official residence as part of an anti-government demonstration calling for his resignation following the country's economic collapse. Demonstrators marched to Sri Lanka's commercial capital of Colombo early Saturday. They jumped security fences surrounding the residence, overran the president's security forces. Rajapaksa was evacuated from the palace around 10:00 local time, 10 a.m., his secretary, Gamini Sarinrath, reported. The president was escorted to safety, a senior defense source told AFP. He is still a president, still being protected by a military unit. Alleged footage of president fleeing aboard a naval ship. Footage uploaded to social media platforms from the president's residence showed thousands of protesters surrounding the palace and then charging inside. Unbelievable scenes. Prime Minister Wickremesinghe held emergency talk with party leaders before the parliament speaker during the unrest to decide what's next in resolving the worsening socioeconomic crisis in the country of 22 million. Lawmakers asked Rajapaksa to relinquish his power to allow a new leader with a parliamentary majority to regain control and fund a swift revolution to high inflation and shortages that have angered the public for months. The debt-laden economy of the tiny South Asian nation has completely collapsed as it lacks foreign exchange reserve to import essential items such as food and fuel. Shortages have materialized as the government began rationing goods last month. Even though the government has held talks with the IMF, India, China, and Japan for a new credit line, and even spoken with Russia about purchasing heavily discounted crude, the country entered a terminal phase where social unrest is spiraling out of control. Visual capitalist Avery Cooper details several reasons for the crisis and economic turmoil that has sparked unrest over the last several months. This visual breaks down some of the elements that led to Sri Lanka's current situation. It took place in several stages, including the whole COVID pandemic, the breakdown, the crisis at a glance, a $51 billion in current debt, 39% rate of inflation, $51 million in the reserves inadequate. What it means protesters are becoming increasingly violent. People are queuing up for entire days to get food and fuel from grocery stores. The Sri Lankan crisis carries a potential for an Arab Spring-style eruption across other countries that could quickly morph into an everywhere spring as people worldwide are angered by high inflation and shortage of food and fuel. This eruption in unrest could eclipse the revolution seen in 2011 that spread across the Arabic-speaking world due to high food prices alone. Everyone's favorite permabear, Social General's Albert Edwards, first warned about the consequences of central banks injecting record amounts of money into the global economy in late 2020, and how it could spark soaring food prices similar to 2011, where social unrest and revolutions were seen in many Arab countries. Edwards' prediction appears to be playing out. It could be much worse than a decade ago, as much of the world experiences economic hardships and what some believe could be the emergence of stagflation. Very, very good. I'm very impressed. And I think it's going to spread. I think the nations of the world are going to be inspired by what the Sri Lankans are doing, as well as the Dutch farmers, to whom I shall return subsequently. Very significant. In fact, all pick up on the Dutch farmers now, because it's striking. Dutch farmers protest climate policies they say could drive them out of business and fuel global hunger crisis. They're protesting new climate policies they say will force them to kill off livestock and drive them out of business. Policies, some argue, will also drive up consumer food prices and contribute to the global hunger crisis. No doubt about it. They have got it right, and they are doing something about it. This is a Canadian trucker strike, Netherlands style, and it appears to me to be more effective even. We know how Justin Trudeau, clamped down, which was disgusting enough. He, of course, along with Emmanuel Macron and Boris Johnson, are among the new world leaders promoted by the World Economic Forum. And Boris has been forced to resign based upon scandals, but actually, I believe, motivated more by the failure of his policies. So one down, two to go. Let's hope Justin Trudeau and Emmanuel Macron are not fired behind. And of course, we've seen lots of protests in France as well, which recall had the popular uprising known as the French Revolution led to the execution of many members of the French elite at the time by guillotine. While I used to think that was a form of instantaneous death, it turns out your head remains conscious for 7 or 8 minutes thereafter, not perhaps quite as humane as one might have presumed, absent that knowledge, but still obviously a highly effective method to employ as they did then. Will we see a return of guillotine-inspired populist justice against the elites who have been so eager to destroy the world? There are signs that is taking place, something on that order. Dutch farmers are protesting the new climate policies. They say it'll force them to kill off livestock, drive them out of business. Some policies, some argue, will also drive up consumer food prices, contribute to the global hunger crisis without any doubt. The new Dutch policy stems from a 2019 court order that nitrogen compound pollution in the Netherlands will have to be cut by 70 to 80%. Mind you, this is part of the ridiculous pseudoscience used to justify the climate change mythology that CO2 is somehow contributing to global warming, where Joe Olson and I have now done a 9-part sequence on anti-global warming. You can find on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, just debunking, thoroughly tearing it apart. Joe, who's among the most scientifically knowledgeable experts in the field, has explained there's no correlation whatsoever between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of the Earth. Democrat nitwits like AOC and members of the squad, but even Al Gore had to say, have bought into all this nonsense. It's complete and total rubbish. It actually turns out that CO2 cools the Earth in 4 different ways. That CO2 is indispensable to life on Earth, that all the green foliage turns CO2 into oxygen to make life sustainable on Earth for human beings and other living things. This is just so idiotic, so stupid, so unscientific. Mind you, since there's no correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of the Earth, there cannot be a causal relation. Remember, even when there are correlations, which are a necessary condition for a causal relationship, as in the case of smoking and cancer and vaccines and autism, the industries, big tobacco and big pharma respectively, have fought in court vociferously that there was nevertheless no causal connection, as though it could be merely a matter of a global coincidence, just as might be the case if women whose first name begin with vowels were to go into labor prematurely with a higher frequency than women whose first name did not begin with vowels. There could be a statistical correlation. It could appear to be as though the vowels of the first name were causally relevant when they are not. So you could have a statistical correlation without a causal connection, as that case illustrates. But with regard to smoking and cancer, we now know so much more. It's very clear, and it was obvious then, that smoking causes cancer. There's a wonderful film out there, something about please smoke, that just debunks the whole effort by the tobacco industry to attack the idea that there's a causal connection. Check it out if you get a chance. Meanwhile, with regard to vaccines and autism, it's a perfect statistical correlation. The more the vax, the more autism. The less the vax, the less the autism. There are predictions now, given the rate at which our children are being vaccinated, by 2050, half of our children will be autistic. And let me say, this appears to be, again, by design. The global taskmasters, those who want to take over the world, like kids who are autistic because they're very good at repetitive performance. They don't tire. They're able to master it, do excellent job. They're less troublesome. They're more docile. They're more cooperative. They're easy to manage than individuals who are non-autistic. So I think this is no mere coincidence, and it appears Big Pharma has been used to manipulate the public from its inception. I'm suspecting that virtually every single vaccine is a fraud. Virtually every single vaccine is a fraud. That's an hypothesis. That's a conjecture. But take a look. consider the possibility that this has been a monstrous scam, that Big Pharma has been in on it from the beginning, that they make big bucks out of all of this, and they manipulate their own workers with threats. They fire them if they talk or lose their pensions and all that. Very manipulative. And the government itself, meaning the members of Congress, appear to have been very susceptible to the influence of Big Pharma. As Dutch News has reported, the government strategy to take a regional approach to the issue will lead to major problems in part of Gelderland and Noord-Brabant, where livestock farming is concentrated and a number of vulnerable habitats are being seriously damaged. To meet the new rules, the amount of livestock farming will have to be reduced drastically. That means some farmers will have to be bought out and shut down. According to a recent report by journalist Kim Iverson, the farmers in the most regulated areas would essentially be put out of business. Iverson, farmers who do not voluntarily accept the government's proposal may have their land seized outright. That's called eminent domain. There may be cases when it's justifiable, but this would appear to me not to be among them. With the latest round of tightening regulation, the Dutch government has announced more multi-billion dollar buyouts, but has also stated they'll expropriate land from farmers who do not comply. They'll take their land. Iverson quoted Henk Steghouwer, the Dutch Minister of Agriculture, Nature, and Food Quality, who said, "There is no future for farmers within this, for all farmers within this approach." He offered to begin negotiation with farmers, but only on the condition of participants condemn the demonstration taking place in response to the new policy. But, as Iverson reports, the protests have not died down. Protesting farmers are spraying manure on a local town hall, dumped a truckload of manure in front of the home of the Dutch Minister of Nature and Nitrogen Process. Some farmers brought their cows to a protest outside the Dutch parliament. Others have blocked roads and highways, causing major traffic jams, blockaded parts of the German-Dutch border, with help from freight and dock workers and fishermen. In response, police have fired gas, tear gas, on demonstrating farmers, and military tanks were brought in to try and clear the blockades. Now look, they're fighting for their lives. Not just their livelihood, they're actually fighting for their lives. They're fighting for all of us. We should all be inspired by the example set here. Similar to events that transpired in Canada during the truckers' convoy earlier this year, the Dutch government called in tow truck companies to remove tractors because the farmers brought in their machinery, their farm machinery, to block the roadways. But according to Iverson, the tow truck companies are refusing to become involved. Meanwhile, the Dutch media, the parrots, the fake news media, describe the protests as extremists and the work of militants. No one believes it because it's complete bullshit. Leading farmers to also blockade the headquarters of media outlets. They are being very resourceful. I'm very impressed. I admire what they are doing. In the midst of these protests, the country's farmer citizen political party has soared to second place in a recent poll. While it currently holds only one seat, it would increase its share to 11 if elections were held today. Narratives crafted to appeal to green consumers disguise a more nefarious intent on the part of the global elite, who in fact are in the process of launching a hostile takeover of the global food system. The Dutch political commentator and legal philosopher Eva Vardingerbroek recently raised questions about the Dutch nitrogen reduction policy and a possible link to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Van Gardenbroek tweeted, "The Dutch minister who pushed a nitrogen law that grants the government the power to expropriate our farmers' land has a brother who owns the online supermarket Picnic. Guess who invested $600 million in that company? Bill Fake Meat Gates. This is what corruption looks like." Here we have a quote from Gates. "I do think all rich countries should move to 100% synthetic beef. Eventually, that green premium is modest enough that you can sort of change the behavior of people or use regulation to totally shift the demand. Bill Gates, American businessman, monster, global genocidist, among the worst of the very worst, Bill Gates. In her tweet, Vandenbroek referred to this statement by Gates I just read. His investment in Picnic is intended to speed up its expansion in France and Germany, investing especially in robotic fulfillment centers, electric vehicles, and a team of software developers. The company wants to create a framework to satisfy the growing demand and do so more sustainably. As it turns out, Staghauer, the Dutch agriculture minister, has been examining the feasibility of introducing a meat consumption tax. And according to Iverson, since 2017, the pig population in the Netherlands has been shrinking because the government had been paying farmers to close their businesses. And now we have a Bill Gates Foundation-funded supermarket, Picnic, in the Netherlands, goes up in flames. Picnic is now barbecue. How fascinating is that? How fascinating is that? And remember, as I mentioned, the Georgia Guidestone have been destroyed. I'm looking at a video clip you can find where one of the stones, these monstrous, declaring that the world population should be 500 million, half a billion, when the current population is around 8 billion, implying the desirability of exterminating 7.5 billion of the world's population. I mean, how much more monstrous could an act of evil be? And they declare it in public. It's part of their agenda that they have to notify the public of what they're doing on the specious grounds that by notifying the public, they have thereby relieved themselves of responsibility, because once the public knows, they are no longer responsible. And if the public responds, good. And if they don't, that's their own fault. We're heading for the break. We'll be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Mitchell has just posted a note that Gary Null has a newsletter where he talks about, you are wrong if you believe that all vaccines are safe and effective. Now, I commend him for that, but in my opinion, Gary Null has a mixed track record. He has a broadcast out of New York City where I was for, I don't know, around a year. I had a show. He invited me to join. I was a conspiracy guy. I was reporting on a whole lot of developments. And when Parkland took place, I was blowing it out of the water. And on my, before my second Parkland, Gary Null gave me the boot. He said there'd been complaints that what I was saying was disheartening. I mean, give me a break. His report that not all vaccines are safe and effective is disheartening. That was pathetic. I had a big audience out of New York City. Imagine a show late at night by the conspiracy guy. I was reaching a lot of people. And Gary Null shut me down. I find that unforgivable. On the other hand, the guy does some good work. I mean, up until then, I thought most of what he did was good work. But he knuckled under. That's just disgraceful. I find it very hard to forgive him. Indeed, if you go on to jamesfetzer.org, my blog, And check out JimTheConspiracyGuy.com, the 65 shows. JimTheConspiracyGuy.com, the 65 shows. If you scroll down on the 65 shows, I think it's going to show up around number 40. You'll find I give an update on Parkland. Well, that's a show I did that led Gary Knoll to sack me in the show I was about to broadcast that he wouldn't let me broadcast because he fired me before I could broadcast. And you'll see in living color exactly what was going on with Gary Knoll. So while I think he's mostly a good guy, he is severely flawed. Not that the rest of us aren't as well. I say that of Donald Trump. And in my opinion, he is a very good guy. But he's severely flawed. About the vax and all that, there are friends of mine who cannot forgive him for that. I do believe if Trump were to return as our president, we'd be overwhelmingly better off. Overwhelmingly better off. And of course, more and more proof emerges every day how the election of 2020 was stolen. This is not news to anyone who listens to this show or, in fact, has a functioning brain. The 2,000 mules was only the tip of the iceberg, but it was a very instructive lesson in how these things are done, and where any number of states, including Wisconsin, are making these public drop boxes, which are unsupervised and unmaintained, illegal. There are a lot of states, key states, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, among them. They're taking measures to ensure that the theft of the election cannot occur again as it was, took place there in 2020. They're going to make sure it doesn't happen again. That means the Democrats are going to have trouble maintaining their power. Don't doubt for a second they aren't going to attempt to do it. Indeed, I see two alternatives that lie before them. Number one, of course, is provoking a nuclear exchange with Russia. Russia is by far the most powerful nuclear nation in the world. Most Americans have no idea. They think we, the United States, hold that status, but we do not. The Russians have far superior ICBMs with multiple independent entry vehicles. I think the Satan II has somewhere between 5 and 15. I mean, it could take out a whole nation all by itself, a single missile. They have the best anti-missile missiles in the world. They have the best anti-ship missiles in the world. They have the best anti-submarine torpedoes in the world. These are virtually unstoppable. The Russians have benefited from the absence of private contractors in the military-industrial complex who are out to fatten their own pockets rather than guarantee the security of the nation. That's why you get boondoggles like the F-35, which was laden with multiple different tasks and can perform none of them well. And you get a plane that runs $1 billion and can't function properly. That's the American way. The Russian is no profit issue here. Give us weapons that are reliable to protect the motherland and their producers. Their military-industrial complex has done that. I mean, frankly, now, Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial congressional complex. He was advised to remove that word because he thought Congress wouldn't like it, but Ike had the right idea. The military-industrial congressional complex has sold out the American people, and we're paying for it every single day. We're paying and paying and paying. So, one alternative that the Biden administration, and if you just realize Biden isn't the president, George Soros is the president. If you realize George Soros is the president, that George Soros' dream has always been to destroy America before he dies, then you begin to appreciate what's been going on here. Why is his first act? He canceled the XL pipeline and drilling on federally owned land. Trump had made us energy independent. Biden immediately reversed. That's the last thing he wants, to wit, George Soros wants, for the United States to be energy independent. They've been gutting our fossil fuels, which aren't actually fossil at all. The earth produces them from inside the core. There's an unlimited amount of oil available naturally produced by the earth. You may recall when we had the fiasco in the Gulf of Mexico, they were doing deep drilling into this resource of oil deep in the Earth's crust, and it blew up in their face, and we had this contamination, and it was quite a struggle to cap the well. They managed, but it was a considerable damage to the environment. And then they sprayed Corexit, which is a highly toxic to suppress the emergence of the oil, so you couldn't see it. But that was toxic. I mean, who knows how much of the sea life, coral and the like, were destroyed by the Corexit. It was hazardous to swimmers because the oceans of the world are so vast. They tend to recycle, replenish, and recover. So I do not know as of today how much damage remains in the Gulf of Mexico. I'll just tell you what was going on there. And we've now had Europe have to eat crow by reversing itself. All the sanctions that were intended to ban Russian gas from Europe have led to retaliation by Russia, where they're cutting off Europe's supply unless they pay in rubles, which they've been reluctant to do, but now they're bending over backwards to get it done. They've now declared that gas and oil are green energy. This is fascinating. This is one of the most ironic and hilarious political developments of the last 10 years. The European community has now declared gas and oil are green. And they are. They are renewable resources, actually. And the whole idea of going electric was absurd from the beginning. It costs more energy to produce electric vehicles than you save. And while you can drive past gas pumps, if you have to recharge your battery, it takes hours and hours and hours. You can refill your tank in 5 minutes, be on your way. Not take hours. You might even have to rent a motel room. You might stuff yourself at a fast food restaurant. You might spend endless hours in convenience stores. Who the hell wants to do that? And in the UK, they found their electric police cars can't keep up with the motorists they're chasing. They can't keep up. They don't have the power. This whole thing is a total fiasco. And that you have members of Congress like AOC and others boasting about their $65,000 electric cars. Well, believe me, they have their head where the sun doesn't shine. When the American people catch up with the reality about green energy and that it's a monstrous scam, that it's being used to destroy the economy, that this is part of the worldwide global takeover, they want to return to a feudal age. They want to have the masters in the castles and those that remain, that 500 million. Toiling like serfs and slaves in the field. They really literally want that to be the case. Well, I believe the Dutch and the Sri Lankans and the Georgian Guidestone destroyers are setting the right example. We must not let this happen. There are billions of us and only a few thousand of them who are seeking to kill the rest of us. This is outright slaughter on an unprecedented scale. And none of the agencies that are supposed to help us to maintain our health, the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, the WHO, they are all in on it. You realize the head of the World Health Organization is an Ethiopian terrorist. He doesn't even have a medical degree. He's a monster. He should not be in such a position. Fauci and the others at NIH long since sold out. They've been instrumental. I believe Tony the Rat is going to go down in history as the greatest mass murderer of all time, topping Stalin, Pot Pal, Bao by billions. Billions. Their deaths were only in the $20, $30, $40 million range. Fauci already, in my opinion, has exceeded 100 million. And the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, they're all promoting packs for little kids, little tots, 6 months old. They want to kill them all. They want to kill them all. These little kids don't have any risk of dying from COVID. It's infinitesimal. But the vax, that's a whole nother matter. The vax is bringing about millions of adverse effects, hundreds of thousands, I believe now actually into the millions of deaths, premature deaths. You still got athletes on soccer field dropping dead. These are people in the prime of life. You, the pilot shortage. We had all these flight cancellation. That was because they don't have pilots. Too many pilots are dropping dead. I mean, it's all insane. It is insane. And that appears to be the status, the standing, the mental health condition of the world leaders like Klaus Schwab and the Rothschild. They have gone stark raving mad, completely insane from generations of inbreeding. It is disgusting. And Biden isn't even the real Joe. We know that. I've proven this a dozen different ways, and I'm not alone. Many others, too. He not only has different ears, different color eyes, different shape of skull, different signature. I mean, it's ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And he's completely incompetent. I have a friend who thinks there are as many as 12 different fake Bidens. Well, I can't confirm that. He believes some of them are even clones, that there's a rapid method of cloning. I've always been skeptical about the cloning business because what you do when you clone, and they've done this with beef cattle, and I mean very successfully, you get the leanest, most beef-producing steers, and then you replicate them via their DNA, and you get vast herds of very lean beef-producing steers. I mean, extremely high-quality meat, but it requires growing them. You take the DNA and you create, you know, a fertilized ovum, and then it has to go through all the periods of gestation and maturation and development. Well, with cattle, that can happen in a couple of years. You got a stern calf, and then you got, you know, a young steer, then it grows to be a bull. Well, when we're talking about cattle, 10 years works. With human beings, of course, it takes 6 months, and then to become an elder, you got to go through all those years of experience. Well portrayed in the film Boys from Brazil, starring Gregory Peck, where there was an effort by neo-Nazis to clone Adolf Hitler. And they had 6, 8, or 10 kids that were genetically spawned by Hitler's DNA. But then, in order to make them have the same character and development and attitudes, they had to replicate crucial events in Hitler's own life, including, as I recall, the suicide of his father at the age of 12. So they had to do these things, try to make it. Well, how could you have, you know, Biden clones? Because you'd have to go through all those years of development. It wouldn't be timely. Now, my source claims they have a method for rapid cloning. I'm not at all convinced, but I can't say he's wrong. I can say from my study of evolution and genetics and development, it doesn't seem to me add up. But Biden is such an innocuous-looking guy. I don't doubt you can find a lot of people who look a lot like Biden enough to even play his role. Which is why, of course, they've created a fake Oval Office in the Eisenhower in the West Wing. It is equipped with a huge teleprompter where Biden, the fake Joe, can read the lines off the teleprompter, but he's so bad, he reads all the lines that say stop here, start here, give emphasis here. He reads all that stuff, showing he's as much a word reader as Vanna White is a letter turner. I mean, that's the right comparison. I mean, it's just stunning what's going on here. And Americans are being played. Now, I got to share with you a rumor, and I regard this as merely a rumor. The rumor, and I've watched a video report by a source who says he has this from the highest level, that this is a certainty that the 2020 election has been overturned, that Joe Biden has been disqualified, and therefore the person who came in second place is going to be determined to be announced to be declared to be the president of the United States. And of course, that would mean the return of Donald J. Trump. Now, I don't want to elevate any false hopes or expectations. God knows I would like this to be true. Can I say that it is? Absolutely not. He declares that multiple justices are under protection, heavy protection, that the chief justice is even under NATO military protection. I'm not so sure I find that all that reassuring. That Justices Kavanaugh and Barrett are under protection. Well, they deserve that anyway, because all the protests going on at their homes, which have been egged on by the Democrats, are blatantly illegal. This shows the Democrat Party has totally lost its way. It's resorted to all kinds of illegal activities. You even have Democrat mayors and governors declaring they're not even going to follow SCOTUS, the decisions of the United States Supreme Court, which means that they are traitors to the United States. I mean, like it or not. And I'm unhappy with the Roe decision because I believe in a woman's right to choose under the circumstances thereby proscribed. I believe that was the right choice, and it's the only democratic moral in American, because it allows every woman to make the choice for herself. While it allows abortion in the first and second trimesters, it doesn't require anyone to get an abortion. If you don't want to have an abortion, Roe doesn't require you to do so. However, under pro-life legislation that's now in effect in a dozen states, is going to increase to as many as 26, more than half of the 50. To proscribe abortion means that a woman is going to be required to carry a fetus to term. And that, to me, means these women are being turned into reproductive slaves. Now, slavery is immoral. If any activity is immoral, because it's using other people merely as means. And I think that's completely wrong. I'm glad to address this at length. Perhaps on no issue have I been so vilified by my own fans as on this. If you go to my BitChute channel, I'm getting a lot of attacks because I believe in a woman's right to choose. Well, it's not a question of popularity, even among those who follow me. I call it as I see it. I have analyzed this issue every way from Sunday. And there's no question whatsoever, in my opinion, that the pro-choice position is democratic, allows each woman to make her own choice. It's moral because it doesn't require anyone to do what they would prefer not to do. That's a life-altering experience. And it's American. My God, what's more American than choice? And the arguments that are so often advanced that it's baby killing are just wrong, or that it's murder. They're just wrong. Murder entails a deliberate killing of a person that is wrongful. While there's lots of deliberate killing a person that is not wrongful, soldiers in combat, police in the performance of their duty, civilians in self-defense, and under Roe, it was not wrongful. But more importantly, the developing entity, as Roe declared, does not attain the status of being a person until the end of the second trimester, when viability kicks in, meaning the ability of the developing entity to survive independent of the mother. From a physiological point of view, that appears to me completely correct, that the developing entity is a part of the mother until it reaches a state of viability, and then it attains a status where it's entitled to exercise the social, moral, and legal rights of a person. That's when personhood snaps in at the end of the second trimester. And I'm telling you, I've written about this, I've published about this, I've even published why abortion is indispensable to the nation's health and well-being. I had that article up on Daily Coast. You'd think Daily Coast would be enthusiastic about an article like that, but they took it down. Just as they took down an article I had about what's wrong with Reverend Bright. Remember when Barack Obama was being pilloried because of his agreement with views advanced by his minister, this Reverend Bright? Well, I went through the issues, and Reverend Bright, so far as I could tell, was right on all the issues now. That doesn't mean Barack Obama is a good guy. I'm convinced Barack Obama is a bad guy, that he's a creature of the CIA, that he's done immense damage to the United States. He's even, I think, doing a lot of the day-to-day manipulation of the Biden administration, because based on his 8 years in office, he knows the buttons to push, the levers to pull. I have no doubt his nullification of the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation that were heretofore only used abroad. That would include paid riots, stage shootings, and the like, to be permitted in the United States by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, was intended to promote the staged events of Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, more recently Buffalo, Uvalde. I've done a huge amount on all of these. If you have any doubt, go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Check it out. This is all thanks to Barack Obama. The Democrats are very good at manipulating events. Remember Rahm Emanuel, never let a crisis go to waste. Well, Barack Obama, when he was still a senator in Illinois, had a torrid affair with Rahm Emanuel. They were known in all the bathhouses in Chicago. It was an open secret. And when he went to the White House, guess what? He brought Rahm Emanuel along with him as his chief of staff. Barack Obama flew in little boys and little girls from Chicago for a private party at the White House, spending $65,000 of taxpayers' money. It's in the WikiLeaks revelations from the Anthony Weiner laptop. $65,000 flying pizza and hot dogs from Chicago when the White House won't accept food from outside sources, when actual pizza and hot dogs from Chicago would have been inedible by the time they arrived, and where it's slang, pedo slang for little boys and little girls, Barack Obama, $65,000 taxpayer dollars to fly little boys and little girls in from Chicago for a private party at the White House. Find it all. Go to the 65 shows again. Go down. Scroll down to Pizzagate, the American franchise of Pedogate. You'll learn more than you ever wanted, but brace yourself. You're not going to like what you learn there. But you need to know. We are being played by our leaders. They are phonies. They are frauds. They are out for themselves. They are perverted. Joe Biden is one of the great perverts of our time. And he is the guy. Why? Because they could manipulate him. They could threaten him. More about Biden when we return from this break. Pretty revealing stuff. And everything is going bad for the Democrats. They're in a hole. So the option is going to be another pandemic. And I tell you, it's on its way. Marburg. I'll tell you more. The foundation has already been laid in the vax. There are these little round things that have blood in them in your bloodstream. If you got the vax, it can be activated by 5G at certain frequencies, three short blasts, and you start bleeding from every orifice. The Marburg epidemic and lock down the country, so you have to vote by mail. I'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Everybody, welcome back. Revolution Radio. Jim's out getting a drink. He'll be right back. Don't forget, we're listeners supported and commercial free. And any archives that might be here, and don't forget Revolution Radio Archives, they're free. So come on down and join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, where you can change the world in this time of universal deceit. Are you there, Jim?
Yeah, Mitchell, I'm so glad for you to, when I have a distraction and I'm a minute late getting back,
that's
you're
okay.
Doing a great job. I truly appreciate it. Meanwhile, Senator Ron Johnson, whom I'm proud to say is my own senator and whom I may have the opportunity to meet this coming Saturday, suggests evidence shows a Biden crime family may be involved in a global sex scandal. I don't think there's a lot of doubt about it. We have known, but there's more evidence now. As the Gateway pundits Katina Lalau reported earlier, Joe Biden wired his son Hunter $100,000 back in December of 2018 and January of 2019 to pay bills. Now we know that Hunter used much of his father's money to pay for Russian hookers. A Washington Examiner obtained text messages from Hunter's laptop, screenshots below showing Joe Biden unwittingly paid up to $30,000 to a Russian escort ring. Here's messages received from Junior. How much do you need now? Sorry, fell asleep. I'm at Chain Bridge Road until 3:30, then catch plane to New York City for an environmental event there, then home. 75 being wired today, love. Those are from Joe. Love you. That's from Junior. Got Finnegan's Rent, Naomi in good shape. Proud of you. Stick with it. Everything else will work out. Love, Dad. All from Joe. Hunter. Sorry, Dad. I had my treatment in the afternoon. It made me sleep through the night. I need to cover girls' rents, tuitions, alimony, health care, today costs, recurring bills, etc. It all worked out to be around what you lent me last time. I will get paid half that in 5 days and make up the other half before Christmas. But it still leaves me short. This treatment plan, which is cheap comparatively, but Haley now refuses to help even though she owes me a great deal more. Joe replies, okay, how do you want to do this? I can pay tuition directly in their housing and give you the rest. I'm going to a funeral now, available after one. Let me know when we can talk. Hunter. Yes, that's fine. If you can please direct Mel to make wire today of the remaining for me to be able to transfer to Kathleen et al., including my treatment here. More than fine, Dad. Obviously, anything you can do is more than deserved and much appreciated. I love you, and I am sorry, but I promise to pay it back. Here's more. Love you too, Dad. Can you have whomever wire $20,000 into my account, which covers this detox program now, Dr. Chen, and then first month at Sober House? They have all my info, but if it's possible, could you please have someone do it ASAP so I can pay Dr. Chen? Also, at some point, I'd like to discuss what I'm doing re-bills. Joe, what account? Joe, just call me about bills. Joe. Just called Mel. He will get 20 to your account this afternoon, tomorrow morning at latest. You will contact me when transfer goes through. Thanks, Dad, replies Hunter. Hunter Biden sent text messages to a contact, Eva, a person who handles payments to the Russian hookers, complained that his account was being hit with red flags because of the Russian email accounts. A 2020 Senate report proves Hunter made payments to hookers overseas. Hunter Biden paid non-resident women who are nationals of Russia or other Eastern European countries. And records note some of these transactions are linked to what appears to be an Eastern European prostitution or human trafficking ring. On Wednesday, Senator Ron Johnson joined Solomon on Real America's Voice to discuss the Biden crime family. Senator Johnson suggested Joe and Hunter are involved in a global sex scandal. Senator Ron Johnson, I'm highly concerned in terms of Joe Biden's compromise. The fact that he might have funded his son's use of potential escorts in part of a sex scandal, a global sex scandal, sex operation. Here is a tweet from Andrew Kerr. Hunter sent these texts saying his bank account was frozen after he tried to make payments to escorts with Russian accounts. A 2020 Senate report alleged that Hunter made payments linked to what appears to be an Eastern European prostitution or human trafficking ring. Another from Andrew Kerr. Breaking. Joe Biden unwittingly financed Hunter Biden's participation in an escort ring tied to Russia. Joe Biden wired $100,000 to Hunter from December 2018 through January 2019, the same time frame he spent $30,000 on escorts tied to Russian email addresses. That's from the Washington Examiner. Ron Johnson doing a great job on this. I'm very impressed. Very impressed. And here we have as further evidence, Maricopa County Republican Committee votes unanimously to reject the fraudulent 2020 election results. Similar resolutions are passed unanimously in Wisconsin and in Texas. Earlier, the Gateway Pundit, which is a very good source, reported the committee would vote on the resolution in a Thursday night meeting. Exclusive Maricopa County Republican Committee will vote to reject fraudulent 2020 presidential election results at meeting tonight. The Maricopa County Full Forensic Audit and the 2000 Mules documentary showcase massive findings of voter fraud in the 2020 presidential election. Both investigations discover a total of hundreds of thousands of illegal or fraudulent or questionable votes in the 2020 election. All Maricopa County legislative district chairmen voted in favor of the resolution. None opposed it. Maricopa County Member at Large Brian Ferentz posted the full resolution on his website. Ferentz told the Gateway Pundit and other organizations nationwide can use the same template to reject their own results. They can copy Maricopa County's resolution and customize it to represent their stolen election. Be it resolved. Whereas, in solidarity with the Republican Party of Texas and their recent resolution on the 2020 election, whereas, we believe the 2020 election violated Article 1 and 2 of the U.S. Constitution. The various secretaries of state illegally circumvented their state legislatures in conducting their elections in multiple incorrect ways, including allowing ballots to be received after November 3, 2020. Whereas the 2000 Mules documentary irrefutably proves election fraud occurred in Maricopa County during the 2020 election in the form of ballot trafficking through drop boxes. Whereas we believe that substantial election fraud in key metropolitan areas significantly affected the results in five key states in favor of Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. Whereas the Arizona Senate audit of the 2020 election found significant inconsistencies and discrepancy. Now, therefore, we reject the certified results of the 2020 presidential election, and we hold that acting President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. was not legitimately elected by the people of the United States. We strongly urge all Republicans to work to ensure election integrity and correct all fraud and weaknesses identified in the 2020 election. I think we ought to encourage all Americans. Arizona patriot and election integrity hero Liz Harris, black box voting, led the charge on Brian Ferentz's behalf. She also carried his proxy vote due to a scheduled trip. Liz Harris is a brave patriot who organized citizen canvassers to knock on doors and canvass the fraudulent 2020 election. She and her team discovered over 250,000 lost votes and ghost votes in the 2020 election. This is all very good stuff. If the report I mentioned earlier is correct, that would be fantastic news. That is to say, the report that the Supreme Court has actually rejected, the 2020, the election of Joe Biden, that would be fantastic. Meanwhile, I want to give an update on the Abe assassination, which appears to prove that staged events, that false flags aren't unique to the United States. And indeed, my dear colleague Nick Holerstrom of the UK has published Chronicles of Terror, a European perspective, where he exposes a baker's dozen, 13 false flags in the UK and on the continent in a book available at moonrockbooks.com. I recommend you consider it. I published on my blog about the Abe assassination a piece by James Corbett that I think is very good, though it deserves elaboration, where I've added the following editor's note. Scott Bennett and I suspect this may have been another staged shooting or false flag for several reasons, including A, no response by Abe when initially shot, none to the first, kneeling to the ground after the second. B, there ought to have been considerable blood, but even when he's lifted up from the ground, there's no blood beneath him. We are going to take a closer look. This does not look right to either of us. More to come. On Friday, July 8, 2022, Shinzo Abe was in Nara delivering a stump speech ahead of Japan's upper house election due to take place on Sunday. Abe's speech was interrupted by two loud booms coming from the street behind the politician, accompanied by large puffs of smoke. The alleged assailant was then wrestled to the ground and taken away by security. Now, according to the BBC, under the heading Shinzo Abe, Japan ex-leader assassinated while giving speech, at 11:30 local time, shots rang out and Abe was shot twice in the neck. He immediately collapsed and was rushed to the nearest hospital. Security officials at the scene tracked the gunman, who's now in custody. An unidentified weapon was filmed on the ground after the attack, after 4 hours of treatment. Abe was pronounced dead at 1703 local time, which of course would be 503. The assailant, 41-year-old Tetsuyu Yamagami, did not attempt to escape. He was arrested and has been interrogated by police. The gun used by Yamagami, where guns are outlawed in all of Japan, has been described as a bizarre homemade firearm. Various pictures of the weapon have been published. Here you have two barrels or duct tape. It was using black powder to propel the projectiles. But honestly, this looks like a cartoon. This does not qualify as a serious weapon. Police have since raided what are told is Yamagami's apartment and have reportedly discovered a variety of similar handmade weapons. For example, here's one with 9 different barrels. What is it, an ersatz Gatlin gun? Here's another, 5 different barrels. None of these look serious to me. Although Abe was an ex-prime minister, having stepped down in 2020 due to health issues, he was still very much a force in Japanese politics, retained his seat in the Japanese Diet, and crucially still wielding enormous influence in the Liberal Democratic Party, the perennial ruling party of Japan. He came from a politically influential family. His maternal grandfather, Nobusuke Kishi, served as prime minister from 1957 to 1960 and was known as the monster of the Showa era for his brutal rule over Manchuria in the 1930s, which likely accounted for his first appointment as prime minister in 2006. Now, on Saturday, I was invited onto a program on speakfreeradio.com, speakfreeradio.com, a very good new web source that's completely uncensored, speakfreeradio.com. His show is on from 2 to 5 Eastern. He had me on for the second and the third hour. So I was on from 3 to 5 Eastern. The show has been archived on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. So I was going to talk about the latest false flag and wound up talking initially about the Abe shooting because it's so clearly fraudulent. And I introduce a section of video that shows the non-response of Abe. Let me see if I can pull it up here. You're going to hear Giuseppe, who is there with Scorpio, and Scorpio and I discussing this. I'll try to find a good section here to begin.
We got me in twice. Can you kick me out?
Yeah.
Very good.
There you go. Okay. Jim in stereo. Okay.
I'm also getting feedback.
It stopped on my end. It was doing this for a second, but I think it's okay now.
Are we okay now? No,
I'll
deal with it. Okay, James Corbett had a pretty good piece on the Abe assassination, but he seems to have missed the most important part, which is that the shooting itself appears to be a staged event. He does not, Abe doesn't even appear to have been hit. So Scott Bennett, who is the first to call this to my attention, and I believe that this is a false flag for several reasons, including there's no response by Abe when he's initial hit. There ought to have been considerable blood, but even when he's lifted up from the ground, there's no blood beneath him. We're going to take a closer look. This doesn't look right to either of us. And notice on the left in the image there, you have him with a tiny, tiny amount of blood. But I have two different reports that he was shot in the throat, one from the BBC, even that he was shot twice in the throat, which we'll see here, and the other from the AP. Right here, claiming that he had an artery was severed, which of course would lead to a lot of spouting of blood.
Yeah, so it'd be a real mess.
Yeah, yeah. But go back, Giuseppe, that one slide, go back. Yeah, so we're going to take a closer look. Now, the next slide, okay, has to do with he having been in NARA delivering a stump speech. Here you see, and notice all that smoke. That's because this was a crude handmade weapon. Guns right. aren't legal in Japan. It was made out of black powder and a couple of tubes. It sort of resembles a kind of a miniature sawed-off shotgun. But I don't think it actually was even properly functioning. And when it went off, it had a tremendous amount of smoke. It was interrupted by two loud booms, there's no doubt about that, from the street behind him, accompanied by large puffs of smoke, where the assailant was then rustled to the ground. If you look at the very next slide, then you'll see, and this is from the BBC. At 11:30, shots rang out, and Abe was shot twice in the neck. He immediately collapsed and rushed to the nearest hospital. Security official tackled the gunman in custody. An unidentified weapon fell on the ground. After 4 hours of treatment, he was pronounced dead. Now, Giuseppe, we have the video that I think puts the lie to all of this. So
yes, we do. Let's take a look at this.
And we'll watch it more than once. This is by far the best video, and James Corbin already had identified it. So go ahead. Yeah.
Play. Okay, here we go.
They say he will come out alive.
Go ahead and play it again. You notice he doesn't even flinch from the first sound. He even looks back to see what the hell is going on.
Okay, let me go back and play it again. Let's see.
This is extremely revealing. Yeah, there are a lot of videos that cut it off. You see him standing there, and then they immediately cut to the shooter being on the ground.
Okay, 1 second here. I let it play too long. It went to the next one. Let me grab the link again.
Sure.
And but you know, I've watched that video multiple times, Jim, after reading that account from the BBC. And if he were shot in the neck, he would have grabbed his neck, and he reaches down for his abdomen, kind of thing. So it clearly was not shot in the neck.
Yeah, and I don't think such shots. Watch this now. First shot, he doesn't even flinch. He turns around. Second shot, he's not. I don't think he's grabbing for anything.
Let's play it again. But
I agree. He's just trying to get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, the first one doesn't do anything. It doesn't hit him because he looks around like, what is that?
Right.
And then the second one, he like kind of. You know, if you were really, really mortally wounded with a shot, you don't carefully go to your knees. You collapse. And watch how he kind of like, oh, I'm a little older. I'm going to slowly go down to my knees kind of thing. So
right. He does it in a way. It's almost like he's kneeling in prayer.
Right, exactly. He doesn't, I mean, he's not. I thought he was reaching, but he's not reaching for anything. He's just kind of like kneeling down to, that's very ponderous.
Let's play it once more. What the hell?
What the hell?
This is so telling.
He's not hit that time because he's like, what the fuck?
He's not hit the second time either, Giuseppe.
Yeah, it could very well be. Right. Because, Jim, if you go back, let me go back to your slide, that picture where he's on the ground.
That's right at the top.
That could easily be one of those little blood packs, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I agree completely. Yeah, and there's not very much of it. And notice, it's not coming from his neck. Coming from his neck.
I mean, if you cut an artery, any artery, you are even a large vein, it literally is like a little fountain of blood will spurt, right?
Spurt, so, with the heartbeat, pump, pump, pump.
Right.
Gosh.
Why is the shooter wearing a mask? I mean, if you're out there to assassinate
the
president, why are you wearing a mask? Says, I want to be compliant with the COVID regulations, and I'm going to shoot the president.
Those are all good. Those are all good points.
So what I'm explaining here is this is totally fake. You got a false flag in Japan. It's unclear to me precisely the motivation. Possibly some of you will have an idea, but there's the latest from the front. This Hunter Biden stuff is all over Twitter. Elon Musk, by the way, has decided not to go forward. Twitter's upset. They thought they were going to have a lot of money in their pockets. But when it turns out as many as half of the Twitter followers are bots or phony or fake, there's a good reason for Elon Musk to withdraw. I'm going to, take callers now. After the break, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call. I think we're just in the grip of multiple hoaxes from multiple sources, but the world is beginning to catch on. The signs of resistance, including the destruction of the Georgia Guidestones, what's taking place in Sri Lanka, the developments in the Netherlands, the protests there, setting a fire, the picnic turning into a barbecue. Honestly, those I interpret as positive developments because it means people are not going to take it lying down. And that's absolutely indispensable. Remember, as that Catholic priest reminded us, there are only thousands of them, but there are billions of us. Why should a few thousand be allowed to bring about the death of billions so they can control the world for its own benefit? Just completely outrageous. Just completely outrageous. So, call in. We'll be here. Mitchell, field your call.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Ah.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined by Hijacker. I'm glad you've called in. Please give me your thoughts.
Yeah, Dr. Fetcher. Listen, 2 points. This is not my main point, but I used to believe the same thing about that Obi, that was a false flag. But if you go to the YouTube channel or the topic, the homemade gun that killed Senzo Abbey, and you take a look at 34 seconds in, you see the first blast that goes off, no reaction, it's just smoke. It was a misfire. Abbey turns, Obi turns, and you'll see just before the second blast, you'll see his whole shirt gets raked, and you'll see his white shirt flip, get ripped open, and then falls back, and then you see the smoke come out where he takes the second blast. He doesn't know what's happened to him, which if it was an inside job, then at the first blast, he would have known, okay, I've got to act this way or act that way. He didn't. But so he takes the second blast. You see his shirt ripped open, the top part of the collar right around his chest, neck, and then he steps down. But that's not why I called in. Dr. Fetcher, you can take a look at 34 seconds in that particular little clip.
Send me the link, Hijacker. Maybe even put it right there in Skype if you can. I'm glad to look at it.
Yeah, Mitchell's good. It's in the host chat, Mitchell. If you just go up about 12 hours, you'll see it.
Are you? So you're just to tie off about Abbe. So you think he really was killed? You think he really was dead? You think all the I'll certainly look at additional evidence, but of course, obviously,
once you see it, you'll know. Yeah,
I'll take a look. Go ahead, Hijacker.
Right, but so with that being said, I'm a big fan of yours, Dr. Fetcher. You're like the Maxwell Jordan, except and he's kind of the secret society's occult. You're a godfather of the alternative truth community. I liken to you like an admiral on an old Spanish galleon. You're 80 years old. You got your sword out. You're still fighting. It's a hand-to-hand combat on one of these galleons, and you're still fighting. So, like I say, I'm a real big fan. With that, just give me 90 seconds with this criticism of you, and I know you can take it.
Sure.
But I want you to hold in your mind a guy that was born around the 1940s. You're born right around there, 40, 45, something like that.
1940.
Right, 1940. So think of a Chinese guy that was born in 1940 that grew up under Maoist communism, and now he's a party member, and he has been pickled, literally pickled, in Maoist communism. In the same way, Jim, I know what your problem is that you are, your worldview is a secular humanist. You don't believe in like a personal creator, God. You have, you go along with, I think, the Big Bang and maybe even evolution. And so from your worldview, you don't see that there's only one person or one entity that can give life and take it. You understand about taking life, but as far as giving and taking, and that is the creator. And so when you talk about the viability of a baby that's not more than two trimesters and that afterward it's okay, well, I would challenge you, take an infant baby, set it down on a table, and don't do nothing to it, and it will die. And so even out of your own words, your own mouth, you said one time after the Veritas did a surprise attack on the abortionist, and they were talking about selling baby parts. You even said, well, what's wrong with that? At least they're getting something out of the baby. So I'm just saying, it's your worldview. It's because you do not believe in a personal God, Jim. That's why you believe what you believe about abortion. Now go ahead.
Well, of course, I am an agnostic. Yes, yes, yes. But Russ, hijacker, where'd you come up with that quote? I don't think I ever said that's all right with me. I'm very much opposed to, you know, selling off baby parts and all that. So I think that's a misquote. But, you know, if you could find it, viability does not mean the baby could survive on its own as though it could walk and talk and make hamburgers or pancakes. I mean, it means that given nurturing, the normal nurturing of what would be a normal live birth, when the word baby is characteristically applied, it can survive. So I don't think your counterexample really works, that it would require assistance. On the other hand, of course, I am an agnostic, and if that's regarded as a fault, then obviously I plead guilty, but I have not. My reasoning is based on logic and evidence. I adhere to what's known as the ethics of belief, advocated by the British philosopher William Clifford, that it's wrong everywhere and always to believe anything for which you do not have sufficient evidence.
Well, we know this walk of life. Well, I'm talking about where life actually begins. I'm actually really hardcore where even if a woman gets raped, she's got no choice. In other words, if life is given to that female and the spark of life, and we can prove that. It's been filmed that when the sperm and the egg come together, there is like a blue spark or there's something that happens. Some people want to say it's chemical, but that's the spark of life. That's God. Once that happens, only he is allowed, unless you know you commit murder or do something else. Well, only he's allowed to take life. So it's who gives life? That's what I'm saying. Where does the spark of life when it happens? And well, you just say no. You decide that you're God, and you say no. It doesn't happen until after about 3 months or 4 months. Go ahead.
Well, it's not a question of life. Obviously, from conception, we have the development in various stages of something that would become a person were it allowed to go full term. That's not disputable. And therefore, those who argue, you know, it's taking a form of life, that's not the question. The question is whether the developing entity has attained the status of personhood, at which point in its development it's entitled to the social, moral, and legal protections that attach to entities that are persons. Remember, I explained that the deliberate killing of a person, murder is a deliberate killing of a person which is wrongful, and that there are many deliberate killings of persons that are not wrongful, such as soldiers in combat, police in the performance of their duties, and citizens in self-defense. But in the case of And there are two issues, personhood and wrongfulness. Under Roe, obviously, it was not wrong to take to end the developing entity during the first two trimesters, which had yet to attain the status of personhood. But that's the other issue, is that it doesn't have the status of personhood and therefore cannot be murdered. Now, I agree.
Oh, no, wait a minute, Jim.
No, hijacker.
If you shoot a pregnant woman, you're charged with two murders. If you shoot a pregnant woman, go ahead.
That's correct. That's correct, because that's not a voluntary on her part. You're right. And I think that's appropriate. But if she voluntarily wants to part with this developing entity, in my judgment, Roe was properly decided, and she has that first 2 months to make that decision. Thereafter, it's only permissible to preserve the life or the health of the mother, and otherwise is murder. I endorse all that. The absurd stuff about infanticide advocated by a recent Virginia governor is lunatic, completely lunatic. But let me say, Russ, hijacker, I completely respect other persons' right to have their own views about this. I believe in freedom of religion is covered by the First Amendment. But of course, you would respect my right to be an agnostic, meaning I neither believe in the existence of God, nor do I believe in the non-existence of God, because neither can be proven on the basis of logic or science. I'm not an atheist. I don't deny God exists, which is something beyond human knowledge, because God exists outside of space-time. His existence of an omnipotent, omniscient entity beyond space-time is not something amenable to scientific research. I deal with all these issues, as a professional philosopher. I've done this for decades in classes over 35 years. But hijacker, look, I recognize your point of view. I don't deny you your point of view. It's just not mine. That's all.
No, that's why I'm a big fan of yours, Dr. Fetcher. Go ahead.
No, I appreciate that. And as I mentioned, you're further confirming my observation that the issue on which I've been most confronted or attacked, even by those who are fans or followers, as in your case, has been abortion. And I just recognize how emotional and volatile it is. So,
Jim, just to let you know, Jim, I would have been an abortion bomber. I'm a zealot. So somebody like you 20 years ago, I probably would have burned at the stake. But now I'm one of your biggest fans, although I know you are an atheist or an agnostic. I set that aside. So I've grown too. So, Jim, don't group us all together. Anyways, go ahead.
No, Russell, I'm glad, because, mutual respect for alternative position goes both ways. But I have no doubt this is the strongest the source of criticism of me, of all the work I've ever done. There were people in the beginning who thought I was all wrong about Sandy Hook. But, the evidence is so overwhelming. Anyone who looks at the evidence, or there have been those who upset because I'm a Holocaust denier. But once again, you look at the evidence, there's no doubt about it. I published it many places. There are still plenty who don't want to even look at it. I specialize in collaborative research, bringing together groups of experts in areas where I am not, so that we can sort these things out. And, begin with JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing and all that, even to the moon landing, where Amazon has banned 6 of my books, not because they're wrong, but because they're right. And the 6 was this, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either. It wasn't banned because of disputing the moon land. It wasn't even possible we went to the moon. We didn't have the technology or the ability to transcend the Van Allen radiation belt. But because of a section there of 6 or 8 essays about the Holocaust that just destroy the whole mythology, and the ADL asked Amazon to ban any book that disputed the official account of the Holocaust, and they disputed, they banned between 202,000 books, including that one. But hijacker,
your free speech case, where can people, before you tell people where they can actually support it, because that's actually very important, your free speech case going to Supreme Court, I just want to let you know, I think, Jim, you've basically been pickled like the communist and Mao's and communism. You've been pickled in secular humanism. But where can they support your court case, your free speech? Because it is really important. Go ahead.
Well, givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer, hijacker. givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer, where I lay out the whole case. Lots of links. You'll really learn the whole history of this case, which is now before the Supreme Court of the United States. And I believe when they return in October that they're gonna accept my petition and review. And because I'm actually describing an abuse, a procedure that prevails in Wisconsin regarding summary judgments that is biased in favor of plaintiffs and denies defendants their right to a trial by jury because it enables a judge to resolve disputed facts based upon his subjective personal opinion. So all the evidence I had about Sandy Hook having been a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control, the judge simply set aside, even including two document experts' forensic opinions about four versions of the death certificate that had been introduced at that point in time, where they concluded all four were fake. The judge simply set it aside, where I was being, you know, sued for having declared a version that was incomplete, had no file number, no town or state certification, was fake. And I'm only recounting now, not reasserting that position, because I'm under a court order that I cannot reassert the position for which I was being sued. But there it is. You'll learn the whole history of the case. And hijacker, I really appreciate that. If you want to learn more, and by the way, Mitchell sought to give me the link to that particular video, and it's already been taken down. So, hijacker, maybe you can find it up. I bet it's up somewhere on BitChute or Rumble. By the way, my BitChute channel is now being mirrored on Rumble at rumble.com/C/JimFetzer. Now all mine, including this latest with Scorpio and Giuseppe, are up on Rumble as well as on BitChute. Hi, Jacker. I appreciate everything you said here, all of it, and I'm glad you called. You want to have a final word?
Oh, actually, I just like, can I sit back and ride shotgun?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. We got Brian here standing by. Brian, join the conversation.
Yes. Do you know about Benjamin Fulford? His father was the ambassador to Saudi Arabia from Canada, and he used to be a correspondent or whatever for, I think, Forbes magazine, and he moved to Japan, and I followed him for years, and I really respected everything he ever had to talk about, and he talked about the Abe shooting on his post today.
Yeah.
And you know about him?
He knows about all that. Jim knows all that stuff. He's like a god of knowledge. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, but
Brian, just to say, I have friends who are huge fans of Benjamin Fulford. So tell me what he had to say about the Abe shooting.
Yeah, that's what confused me was he said that the Abe assassination was real. And so I listened to you and Giuseppe and Scorpio, you know, Saturday. And then so I kind of believed what you said, and it threw me for a loop when I read what Fulford said, because he's, you know, he's always been spot on. He had a post a few weeks ago about Satan, and what he said was spot on with what I get from doing my Kundalini yoga stuff that you don't understand. But anyway, so it kind of shocked me that I got that from him. So I'm kind of glad Hijacker mentioned what he did, because then maybe Fulford knows something that we don't know. But
yeah,
he even goes into detail. Yeah.
I think Fulford is nobody's fool. And if I've got it wrong, I'll certainly stand corrected and be glad to share that with my audience, because I believe when you make a mistake, you want to correct it in the same venue as the mistake was made and correct it as promptly as you can. So I'm gonna take a second look. You've both convinced me that that's appropriate, and I'll track down as best I can the video Hijacker mentioned. And, of course, the report by Fulford will be easy to find, easier than the video,
yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah. And I agree with Hijacker completely with abortion. I wish I had the time to give you a little story. You know, I do this Kundalini yoga, which raises your consciousness level. And out of your third eye, you start seeing things. You'll see your past lives. I've seen a lot of my past lives. I've seen my death in a lot of past lives. And because when you're looking through your third eye at past lives and there's no chemtrails, you can see it as vividly better than what you see things in our reality. And because of that, my telepathy works really good. And it was a couple summers ago, I had a girl that was living with me. I'm 72, and she was 31, 32, and she was just a stunning beauty. And what happened, I met her doing Kundalini yoga, and she came in beat up, and she said her boyfriend was beating her up, and I sensed that he was going to kill her. And I said, look, I'm sensing the future because there is no time. You're going to end up dead. And I said, you can move in with me if you want. I'm not going to hit on you. And so she moved in. She kind of knew because she does the same thing I do. And she discovered she was pregnant. So she said to me, because she knew I had telepathy, she said, talk to my baby. And this is when she was, you know, just pregnant a few weeks, whatever. So I started talking to this baby telepathically. And it really affected me. I could talk to this baby. It just made me cry tears. Okay.
Ryan, you lost Dr. Fetcher when you mentioned the third eye. I'll just let you know.
They probably cut me off. They don't like. So anyway, well, sorry, I don't know what to do now, Mitch. What do I do? You're still there. Okay.
Yeah, we're still here, Brian.
Okay. Mitch just said that you got cut off when I talked about my third eye. I guess you didn't hear it.
No, his mind shut down. Oh.
No. I'm listening to both of you. There's not a problem of communication here. Go ahead, Brian. Add whatever else you want. Hijacker and you obviously are on the same page. Tell me more.
Well, yeah. I mean, here I'm talking to this baby, and he's like 2 or 3 weeks old. I mean, it just made me cry tears. And then as time went on, you know, I talked to this baby before he was born. And so what I understand that people don't understand, when you do this Kundalini yoga that I do, it actually kind of merges your soul with your ego mind. Yet the way we are in this reality is your soul and your ego mind are two separate things. Your soul is actually a battery in this world for your ego mind, and your soul does not like it. Okay, you don't really sense what your soul feels. And when a woman is pregnant with a baby, and I mean just as soon as it's conceived, she loves that little baby to death because your soul is nothing but, you know, love. And so when the ego mind says, well, I'm going to get rid of this, it just gives off tremendous energy that the dark harvest can use against us, okay? It's part of the whole black magic thing, and they get tremendous energy from abortion. And that's why I'm totally against abortion, because of what it does to the mother's soul and what it does for our reality, because a lot of the problems we have right now are created by things like, you know, when I talked about that Arajas battalion, when they were unsanyangating that small boy, and, you know, their energy from doing all this sacrifice is tremendous, and that's what we're fighting, and abortion is part of that.
Well, I appreciate all of that. I'm glad you shared it with us, Brian. Hi, Jacker, do you have a further thought you'd like to add here before we draw to a close?
Yeah, just to let you know, Jim, that the abortion, what the Supreme Court did, made people like me, whether hardcore zealots, you might want to call us, very unhappy, because it didn't stop abortion. We were looking for, the Supreme Court says that life starts at conception, end of story, no more abortions, that's it. Instead, what they did, they opened it up to 50 states. Women are still going to be able to get abortions. Nothing has changed. So yeah, I wouldn't even be that upset, Dr. Fetcher. It didn't do anything. So I just want to let you know.
What they ruled, Hijacker, was that the constitutional foundation for the Roe v. Wade, which I support, as you know, was lacking, and that the Constitution delegated responsibility for this particular issue, as it does so many others, to the respective states. So he simply acted not on the merits of whether abortion was a good thing or a bad thing, that the Constitution, that a decision like Roe was not properly decided on the basis of the Constitution, but had to be remanded to the various 50 states. And each of those is going to decide in accordance with their legislatures whether this ought to be a woman's right. But as you know, it's my position that it ought to be a woman's right. And I respect your and Brian's impassioned and intelligent defense of the alternative opinion. And I appreciate both of you, too, whatever you have said about Abe.
What about the Constitution saying a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? What about the right to life?
Well, the question becomes when that right snaps in. That's why I was explaining personhood. It's all persons enjoy the right to life, liberty, and happiness. It's not all fertilized ova. It's persons. You have to attain that status of personhood. That's why that's really the crucial issue, theoretically, legally, philosophically, I think, Hijacker, personhood, which I believe is properly determined at the end of the second trimester when you have viability, notwithstanding your counterexample that if you just took a baby out of a womb at the end of the second trimester and put it on a table, for example, it would not long survive. Of course, I agree with that. The point is, under normal conditions, it could survive outside of the intrauterine environment, and prior to that, it cannot, and it's a function of not heart or brain activity, but lung, actually. So I want to thank you both for joining me. Very spirited arguments, and I appreciate it all, and I certainly respect your alternative point of view, and if I'm convinced there's something about Aubrey, they really did die, I'll follow up, and I appreciate your both with your input on that matter, as well as the issue of right to life and abortion.
Thanks
thank
for
you
taking
all
my call.
Yeah, thank you. You are good. Very good. Back on Wednesday.
Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...